Tzmaimer. It's from Shabbos Parshas Acharei. Mevorchim Achedesh Ir, just like this Shabbos. A couple of years ago. Like 40-something years ago. The Rebbe delivered this Tzmaimer on that Shabbos in 1976. And it focuses on Yom HaKippurim and especially the special clothing that the Kohen Gadol wore on this holiest of days and how it reflects the very essence of the oneness and holiness of this day. Ksenis bad kodesh yilbash. The pasuk, the verse in the parsha says that a tunic of linen, a sacred tunic of linen, michnes evad, linen breeches, yiyu al basari, will be upon his body. Uva avnet bad, and with a linen sash, yargar, he will gird himself. Uva mitznefes bad, and with a linen turban, yitznef, he'll wrap his head. Big day kodesh heim. These are sacred clothes, goymer, etc. Okay, so that's a pasuk in Parshas Achrimais that introduces the Kohen Gadol and his Aveda on Yom Kippur. Umedaikim bedirusha b'sein nesiyenu in the Maimorim of our Rabbi. This takes us back to Eira Teira of the Tzemach Tzedek and ultimately Lukut Teira of the Alter Rebbe and a number of Maimorim from the Rabbeim, including the Maimorim of the Mittler Rebbe and the Maimorim of the Rebbe Marash. So the Rabbeim take a look at this verse and they say, Obe Gemara, Obe Teres Kenim. It's brought down from the Gemara, as well as from the Medrash, Halacha Donos Teres Kenim, that accompanies the third book of the Torah. Loma Nemer Ba, Deitzel Kol Echad Nabigodim. Why does every one of the items of clothes come along with a description of its material? Ksoinis, a tunic, that's made of bad. And is holy. Michtin sevad, breeches, they're made of bad, they're made of linen. Va'avneit, and then when it comes to a sash, once again we emphasize bad. We talk about what you do with it. And then mitznefes, we talk about the turban, and once again, we say that it's bad. And then we say, pluralistically speaking, in all-encompassing expression, big day kodesh, they are holy or sacred vestments. So why does it say bad by every one of the articles of clothing? In fact, in this pasuk it says bad, 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 bad. Four times bad. You could have just said, big day bad, kodeshim. They are holy clothes made of linen, kodeshim. What was gained by the Torah emphasizing the raw material from which each of these items of clothes was made four individual times? Vahava l'leimer, kulam, big day bad. There's a ksenes, a tunic, there's michnesayim, there's breeches, there's a sash, there's a turban, and they are big devad. Umezelu medim b'gemarasham. So there in the Gemara, which is found in Meseches Yoma on page 35, the Gemara from here derives shetzarech liyeis muvcha shebevad, that the material that's used to fashion these clothes can't just be any linen. It has to be the finest of linen. And that's what the Torah emphasizes. Ksoinez bad. You select the finest bad, the finest linen. And then you'll make a ksenis, you'll make a tunit. And when it comes to michnase, when it comes to the breeches, it's going to be bad, meaning the finest of linen, not just any linen, not just made of any kind of flax. And that's why it has to say bad each time. V'lo stam bad, not just any kind of linen or flax. V'hine, big day kahuna, heim b'diyuk dafka. The clothing of the Kohenim is very sugazunt, extremely precise and exact. Dahare, we know after all, asur lifches mehem, it's prohibited to subtract from the number of garments that the Kohen Gadol wears, or lo hesef aleim, one is not allowed to add or subtract. It's very, very precise. Like the Rambam talks about in Hilchas Kleh HaMikdash, in the 10th chapter, when he goes through the different forms of clothing, he emphasizes exactly such and no different. If the Kohen Gadol is going to wear his clothes, it's exactly four items, not five items. Exactly four items, not three items. The Mizem Muvan, from this is understood, Shekol Echad B'Bigdei Kahuna, that every one of these sacred priestly vestments, Yeshlei in Yonai, it has some kind of meaning. Not just any kind of meaning. It has a major meaning. It has a major contribution to make. Each one of these clothes adds something without which the Kohen wouldn't be a Kohen, and a Kohen Gadol couldn't be a Kohen Gadol. Yom Kippur wouldn't happen. It's not just having all the clothes. Each one of these articles of clothes adds something of massive and major importance. And it's only when you have all of these individual items together, bitzir of kulam yachad, when they're all conjoined, and there's a synergy of all these items with everything they represent, that's when you have the big day kahuna, and that's when the Kohen Gadol can serve as they're supposed to. Shezeo ma de isa b'gemara. This is what it says in the Gemara. Shetzarech li es muvcha shebabad. Shebat limud zeho ayidei tzir of kulam yachad. So if you wanted to say it was muvcha shebabad, so just say muvcha shebabad. No, let's talk about each one individually. Ksoynes bad, and it's kodesh. And michdase vad, and they're going to be kodesh, and so on and so forth. However, it's only when you have all these individual items made in the most precise and exact way, each one representing what it represents, and they come together as one, that's when you have the concept of big day kahuna. All right, it's very like general, overall commentary now on the terminology that the Torah specifically uses with regard to the Kohen special clothing for Yom Kippur. So what does this all mean? Where are we going with this? What's the point? And here, I presume that everyone must have mentioned the names individually because the Maniach, whoever you know compiled this mimer from memory, makes a point of writing. Then it mentions each one of the Rebbeim individually because each one of them, in their different memorim, added a different dimension. The Isa Baramak. We find in the writings of Rabbi Moshe Cordoviro, who wrote a number of very important works, including a special sefer on Avedis Yom HaKippurim. So this is the Arizal's predecessor. Da'abo b'gdilovon him daladesi shemavaya. The Ramak says that four vestments represents the idea, the energy of four different letters that comprise God's ineffable name. V'inyinu. The thing is like this. The mitznefes koi al keser. The turban refers to the concept that is known in Kabbalah as crown. V'zeu masha mitznefes hois al harosh. So the crown is placed on the head. And what's the purpose of the crown being placed on the head? V'hi l'chaper al inyan hagaiva. This comes to atone for the notion of people's success getting to their heads, or people's ability, or people's talents, or people's accomplishments, or people's effects. Whatever it is, sometimes people say it gets to your head. When it gets to your head, it's not a good thing. It means a person became a Baal Gaiva, a person became conceited, a person became overly obsessive on whatever they were able to achieve. The Inyan HaGaiva, the concept of Gaiva, of conceit, of arrogance, of self-aggrandizement, Negeya upoigim l'mayla mayla b'reish b'b'chines ha-keser. It is something that negatively impacts the highest levels of a person's existence and psyche all the way to what's called Bechinas HaKeser. So Bechinas HaKeser, the idea of the crown, represents not one's thoughts or even one's ingenuity, not just one's intellectual creativity or ability to process ideas and make decisions, but ultimately into the ultimate mover and shaker. What makes a person react? What is the faculty that overridingly and necessarily causes all of human activity? The answer is keser. Why do people do things? The answer is because they want to. If you want to, you do it. If you don't want to, you won't do it. If you want to, you will succeed. If you don't want to be being forced into it, you will not succeed. This is just the simple reality. Most important, you have to create a ratzon. You have to have desire. You have to really want something. If you really want something, just about anything can happen. If you don't want it, it's not going to happen. This is the concept of lower level of keser. And what motivates the want? Why do people want things? Because there's something called tainuk. Because we all want to be in a state of perfect equilibrium. We want to be in a state of pleasure. No normal person looks for pain, wakes up in the morning and says, how can I suffer today? How can I be in pain? Unless they're a masochist, which means they get the pleasure out of pain, which is a mental illness. It's not well. This person's not normal. But again, it goes back to pleasure. That's what makes this person happy. So this is the concept of keser. And gaiva is such a negative and damaging concept that it affects not only the person's ability to think clearly, it affects the person's how a person wants and what a person wants, and ultimately It poisons the very essence of the human condition, the concept of Tainuk. Now the aim is Estidul Mashakosuf Vitushad Murazakim Bibir in Yinamitz Nefes, Sharchu Yudvavamo. There's not a contradiction with what the Alter Rebbe writes elsewhere, that the mitznefes, that the turban, which was 16 amot, a very long piece of cloth. Kedisa berambam, and we say, ubeis pa'amim yudke, yudvav, and 2 times 16 is lamed beis is 32, which corresponds to keneged lamed beis and sivis chachma, 32 pathways of wisdom. In other words, so if the concept of the mitznefes, which is 16 amot long, very long. And that, and then it's doubled over, so to speak. It's wrapped around and around. So you double 16, you get 32. And there are 32 pathways of wisdom, 32 neuronic abilities for a person to be able to develop ideas. So in other words, the in amitz nefes, which is chatzi b'b'chin eslam beis chachma, that's halfway, the 32 pathways, neuronic pathways of wisdom, hu b'meichen, then it must be in the head, not b'keser, not on the crown. Al Rebbe says not a contradiction. The Rebbe says, why is not a contradiction? The concept of 32 neuronic pathways means how keser, how a person's want and desire, how a person's tainug, what makes a person tick, what makes a person happy, how that's nimshach, that's drawn forth into the ability to think. So it's not a contradiction. And zeh masha mitznefes balachaper al gaiva. And that's why mitznefes comes to atone for the concept of gaiva. What is gaiva? Gaiva, begematria, gaiva has the numeric equivalent of yudke, of 15, not 16. Now 15, this bechinas chub, that represents the concept of chachma and bina. Because yud represents chachma and he represents bina. And together that's 15. Kia mitznefes, because the turban represents masha keser nimshach b'meichen. The way keser, it resonates or illuminates within the mind. So, person wants something, when you want to maybe talk to somebody what they want or what they don't want, you have to appeal to their minds. That's the key. The key to getting through to a person is through his mind. So, through his mind, you talk to a person, you educate a person, you explain things to a person, and you continue to develop the ideas until a person grasps it intellectually, and that's how you're able to achieve a transformation, ultimately, of keser, of ratzon and tainuk. So in other words, the concept then of the mitznefes, it's something that deals with the deepest issues in a person's subconsciousness. In other words, sin is not only something that I do or don't do. Sin is not only on the most superficial realm of a person's existence. Sin is able to poison the deeper part of one's psyche as well, to the point that a person has the wrong attitude about everything. He's hung up on himself, full of himself, looks down at everybody else, or at least puts everybody else down in order to make himself big, and he's a person who functions and focuses entirely on self. A geocentric, gaiva-filled individual. That's a sin. What does it mean it's a sin? It means it's deficient. It's a lack. The word term chet comes also from a chesaron. It's the gematria of chesaron, means a lack. This person is deficient. That person is not functioning as well as he or she could. Guess what? When you're a bal gaiva, who is your worst enemy? You are. You're your own worst enemy. You disable your own ability. Why? Because you're not looking at things clearly. You're just carried away with yourself. And over-obsess over self. So this is the concept of the mitznefes. It comes to heal the deficiency in that particular area. And that's what Yom Kippur is about. It's about healing and cleansing till we reach the point of oneness with Hashem. And incidentally, gaiva, more than anything else, is what gets in the way of oneness with Hashem. As it says in the Gemara, Ein ani v'hu yochelim l'ader. God says about the Baal Gaiva, there's no room left for me, because it's all about you. And the Yom Kippur is about having oneness with Hashem. So oneness means healing the Gaiva so that you make room for God in your life. Then comes the concept of the sash, the belt. What does it represent? Says the Rebbe, that's l'chaper al hirhurei aveira shebelev. This comes to atone not for actual sins, but for lust and desire that resides in the heart. Shalachain, makim ha'avnet. That's why the place of a gartel is b'samoch l'chaza ha'lev. It's on the chest. Sometimes people wear a gartel, I don't know, on their buttocks. I don't know why they do that for. That's a mishigas. Like, that's not where a gartel is. If you want to wear a gartel, wear it right. The Rebbe always wear the gartel here. That's where it has to be worn. It's worn beneath the rib cage. It's underneath the chest. That's where a place of a gartel. And the gartel represents the idea of oftentimes we have things which are, you know, superficially we're in, you know, atmospherically speaking, broadly speaking, yeah, we buy into certain things, but it's nothing to do with how I live my life. It's out there, you know. People who believe in Judaism, they believe in Jewish survival, they believe in Jewish pride, they believe in all these big terms. So why don't you actually learn some Torah? Well, don't bother me. It doesn't change my life, you know. Okay. Why don't you actually eat kosher? Well, Rabbi, I believe in Judaism. Who is Judaism surviving for? What is the purpose of Jewish survival? Well, we need to have a Jewish people. Yeah, why? Well, what does that mean? So when it comes to translating it into practical, everyday reality or bringing it down in a very personal way, in a way that impacts their own personal lives, somehow something gets lost in translation. In theory, they believe in it all. They're very passionate about it. In practice, somehow from what's out there, doesn't make it in here. So, you know, if you have like a clothing that's not tight-fitting, like clothing that's large, in order to keep it close to your body so it doesn't blow all over the place, what do people use? A belt or a sash. And once upon a time, people wore these flowing robes. What do they have around the flowing robes? Then this big sash. So the belt, in other words, you have to belt it down. Belt down the makifim, that which is the outside. In the atmosphere, you have to bring it down. That means to take l'kasher, to connect makifim im apnimim. This is what the belt would do. It wasn't a little belt, by the way. This is a lot of cloth. They got wrapped around and around and around. They're talking about 32 amas. So you would connect umahadek the levushim, makifim, levushim. Clothes represent makifim. You don't eat your clothes. Some children feed their clothes, but we don't eat their clothes. And what happens to the clothes? It's only on the surface. It's superficial. It's what's called makif. And therefore, clothes can be changed. You can wear one costume or another costume. You don't have to wear certain clothes. Clothes don't necessarily reflect who you are. It's something which is superficial. It's on the outside. It's a makif. But we want to take those clothes and want to make them part of our reality. So that's what the belt's about. That's the sash. This drawing forth of the atmospheric reality that surrounds us but doesn't seem to permeate our inner essence, humashabina liba. This represents the idea of the understanding of the heart. Bina means to understand, to analyze, and bina is in the heart, bina liba. That's the expression that's found in Tikkun Ezer. Umehalev, and it's from the heart, nimshachakach b'chol inyanim. It's through the heart. The heart becomes the segue through which all ideas are translated into everyday life. In other words, once I have ideas, once I have ideals, once I have concepts in my mind, what makes it, what brings it down into my life? That it becomes something that's important to me, something that I care about, something that I'm ready to sacrifice for. The answer is when I develop an emotion, I feel a connection to it, to the point that I become passionate about it. It becomes meaningful to me. That's the heart. That's not the mind. The mind is objective. And the mind can look at something in one way, look at something in the other way. It doesn't affect them because it's not me. It's just ideas that are out there. So from the heart is through which the wisdom and the intelligence makes its way into the essence of a person's being. It's the gate of diffusion. The Hainu Halev Mehatlas Shlitin. The heart is, as the Zohar says, one of the three vital organs. The lechein liba polig lechol shayfen. What does the heart do? Which part of the body does the heart impact? All of the body. That's where the heart's right in the middle. Mahalev nimshach b'sharei vadim. It's from the heart that it goes to everywhere else. And if the heart is strong enough, chas v'shalom, what happens is that the organs start to die off. God forbid. People lose fingers and toes and hands and eventually feet and arms because the heart's not pumping. The blood's not getting where it has to get. This little pump is a very important part of our existence. What is the belt then? Translated further, the belt means l'hamshach hamoichem b'midas, to take the ideas and ideals and translate them into emotions, behavioral characteristics. That's why whilst the turban was 16 amos long, this was actually 32 amos long. Lamed Beis, 32 spells lev. Mishum shen yonei ho amshachas ha-makifin b'lev. You have to take the makifin, which is only 16, the meichen, the keser, and you have to now bring that down from the mayach, from the heart, down into the lev, and it goes from the lev, from the heart, it goes to the whole body, to the whole existence. V'amshach hazush ha-idea avnei, this actualization of the belt It's not like the loftier ideas of Keser into Chachma, which means there are ideas out there, but I actually understand the ideas. I brought the ideas into my realm of understanding, into my Weltanschauung, my perspective, but it's still in a very, very objective and distant way. Ideas, I relate to the ideas. I relate to them. It's not me. It's not how I feel about it. It's not my, not, it may be even my opinion, but it's not who I am. Whereas when it goes to the heart, it becomes me. That's how I feel about this. That becomes something I self-identify with, not theoretically, but actually. And this Hamshacha is unique, and it only comes through the concept of Avneit. So the Mitznefes takes it from Ba'ifin Helam the Kisui. The Mitznefes brings the ideas into some kind of idea place, in theory, and then that's why Mitznefes comes from the word Safanta, which means hidden. Mashenkin believe the heart reveals. So now we go from the mitznefes to the avnit, and then from there we come into the idea of the breaches. The breaches, alachaper alav and shvichas damim. The breaches, the Gemara and Zvachim and Erchin say, comes to atone for the sin of bloodletting. The ksenes shayich laksenes pasim. Ah, tunic jogs our memory. When do we hear about a tunic the first time in the Torah? The multicolored tunic. The multicolored tunic is of Tavlu. They dipped it bedam in blood, and they tried the story of Yosef. V'yina shvichas damim. What does it mean, shvichas damim? Then who's a murderer? I'm a murderer. What does it mean? What is it, a murderer? Had the one guy say? Somebody said, "You're a murderer." He said, "Really? I'll kill you." What is the idea, shvichas damim? Shvichas damim, in a loftier way, means shevich dama adam ba'adam. This is the concept that of what the pasuk says, shevich dama adam ba'adam, is a pasuk in Noach, which some say actually speaks about abortion, spilling the blood of a human in a human. But a bedak, because we are Rizal, in the writings of the Rizal, he analyzes this idea of shevich dama adam, and he says, the adam asheni hu miyutar. If you want to talk about killing, most of the opinions say it's not talking about abortion, it's talking about killing. So why does it say shevich dama adam be'adam? What does it say, spilling the blood of a person in a person? Why don't you just say spilling the blood of a person? And the second time, Adam, is seemingly superfluous. And the Arizal explains that Mavar Shakavanas HaKosav, the intention of the Pasuk is the Shefer Dam Adam, the Kedusha, the Ha'adam, the Blial. That in Kabbalistic visualization, there's this notion of the human form of that represents holiness, through which the energy, the blood, is found and it functions. And that's the gestalt of holiness and how holiness moves. And then there's the gestalt of Adam Blial, of the wild, untamed, uncivilized creature, a reflection of a human, looks like a human, a terrorist, a monster. And that's Adun Lulial, that's Adun Lu'umaza. And every one of us could choose to be like one person or the other, by the way. You could choose to be a refined, holy-minded person, or you can choose to be a human animal, a human beast. And that's much worse than an animal. Animal's not a bad thing. Animal doesn't know better. The human being, who actually an animal, is a sadist and a monster and a terrorist and a murderer. So when a person behaves inappropriately, he drains the holy vitality from Adam, the Kedusha, and he harnesses and actually sends that vitality, that energy off to Adam Blial. When a person sins, you actually give strength to the other side, so to speak, to the dark side. In addition to the concept of atonement, there has to be, like it says, it has to be like it's written, and here we have a pasuk in Niv, Chel Bala Vayaknienu. In other words, you have to not only, so to speak, atone for what was done, but you have to now retrieve the energy that was lost. You siphoned energy and sent it off in the wrong direction. Well, so now it absorbed some of that holiness. You need to get that holiness back. You need to get those sparks of holiness that you misdirected. When you take the sparks away, do you know what happens when you misdirect energy? Not only when you misdirect energy, ultimately the energy is missing and not able to be used for a holy purpose, it's used, it's harnessed in the wrong way. Imagine instead of funding good things, you sent funding in the wrong place. What happened then? That funding was used to carry out acts of murder and mayhem. This is the great sin of the Western world. They send money to the Palestinian Authority. And what did they do there with this? To kill people. With this, they educated a whole generation with the most horrific hatred and anti-Semitism and actually caused death. In other words, murder funded by the European Union. Directly. So it's not just a question, okay, you know what? We're going to stop doing that. We're going to stop doing it. What about all the money you gave? What about all the infrastructure you built? An infrastructure of murder. You just funded that thing. It's not so simple. You can't just say, okay, you know what? Let's just move on. We'll turn the page now. You turn the page, you created a monster. And the monster is powered by you. So therefore, you have to take out the sparks of holiness. The sparks of holiness were there. You need to retrieve them. And that's the business of the breaches. That's what it represents. So in other words, Yom Kippur gives us the ability to achieve oneness with Hashem, not only to achieve atonement and forgiveness, but actually to be able to, if you will, go back in the past and retrieve that funding. To pull the funding, to pull the energy, to retrieve the lifeblood that we sent off in a negative way, to bring it back home in a positive way. Which this is actually amazing. How could you do that, right? That's why it says that the Yom Kippur is called Meifes HaKamos. It's called the great, amazing wonder. And you ask the question about the Sar Azazel and things that don't make sense. The whole thing is wondrous. Yom Kippur is not just atonement. It's okay, from today and onward, we're not going to be at loggerheads anymore. We were at odds, no more at odds. Now, people make up all the time. Yom Kippur is not just makeup. Yom Kippur actually undoes the past. And at the highest level, that means Dainis Naslik Azachis, where the negativity turns into a positive. So this is a big deal. And that's what it represents, and that's why it's connected. That's where the ksein is. That's where the tunic is connected to the concept of murder. And finally, the haksoinis, mechasa, eskolaguf, the tunic covers over the whole body, adreglaim, all the way down to the feet. The hikineged, havov, mides, or yazayin mides. This corresponds to the six or seven mides, as they're called. Kishla atzman, v'leikashem malchus, not as they are in the lowest level, but ultimately as they represent the idea of how the mides are diffused or brought down. So we have yud representing chokhmah, hey representing bima, vav representing actualizing, bringing this down, and the long vav represents the long tunic. And finally, lastly, the fourth is the idea of michnasayim is the clothing. Mishakosav, like it says, v'chaseh is b'sar erva, to close over, to cover a person's nakedness. V'inyin shabol l'chaper al oven gilad royis. This comes to atone for the concept of what's called sexual impropriety, sins which are connected, chas v'shalom, to that area, which are actually talked about in the second half of Parshas Acharei. Ubisviris, if you talk about it spherotically speaking, so spherotically, we have the idea of Chochma, which is Yud, with Chochma bin Adas. And then we have the idea, or Yud and Hey is Bina, whatever. So Yud Kei represents the idea of the intelligence, Chabad. Vav represents Chagas Nehi, representing the six Midas. And then the breaches represent the lowest level, which is Malchus, which is Bechinas Nukva. Malchus actually is referred to in feminine tense. In other words, Knesset Yisrael, that represents the great conglomerate of souls of Israel. Shasham Negea Sheyia Kedusha V'Tara. That Jewish people have to live with a sense of purity, a sense of holiness. V'tzarchlias HaShmira. You have to be very careful because this is an area of life where it's very easy to go awry. It's very, very easy for a person to fly off the guardrails. When it comes to Aroyas, when it comes to this concept, it says Ein Apotropos. Nobody could say that they are above suspicion. Nobody could say that they are beyond the concept of making some very serious mistakes. And tragically, some of the finest and best have fallen in this area. The great challenges come in this area. V'tzarech liyos hashmirah, therefore there has to be extra kind of guard. V'zeu mashar ksoinis yal kol haguf ad yirechayim. The tunic covers the body all the way down to the loins. Mishum shehi keneged amidas represents the midas. Mashenki michnasayim. Michnasayim is rak only ad yerechayim, only till the knees levad of the body. But that represents the idea of malchus. Zel gamke mashem machnis lashin kainis michnasayim, which comes from machnis, which means to gather together. It's in the terminology of kainis, of to unite, to bring together. Shezeu inyan sfiras ha-malchus. This represents the idea of malchus. Knesset Yisrael, the collection, the conglomerate, the congregation of Israel. Shekoineses vayisefes ha-giluy l'mayla, takes all of the revelation, all of the energy, and brings it down. It's like a dam. The dam takes it all together, and then from there, it's able to diffuse it and project it. So now we have the four clothing, big dekedeshim, these are sacred vestments, and the kavanah, the intention is, shebechol adalat begadim, that all these four things, it has to be bekedusha, it has to be with holiness. What is holiness? Holiness is bittul. Holiness is when somebody's in a state of nullity, somebody's in a state of humility. And the union of Kedusha is Nimshach from the Sfira of Chachma, which is the beginning of all the Sfiras. And that's the idea in Torah, that's the concept of Anochi and Le'yilucha, which are include all of the ten, proverbial Ten Commandments. And the Asarim Amoris, the ten utterances, also begin with the idea of Chachma. And the concept is that everything we should do should be permeated with a sense of utter humility and self-abnegation before God. Bigdei Kodeshim. This is a conglomerate. All the four levels have to work together. And when everything is Kodesh, when everything is holy, when everything is Bad, which represents oneness, which we have no time to talk about that second part. What is that? What does Bad have to do with all this? So Bad represents oneness, because the way linen grows grows a certain kind of unity. So anyway, the point is that these sacred vestments allow the Kohen Gadol to be able to perform his duty. His duty is done. The entirety of the nation of Israel benefits. May Hashem cleanse us and forgive us. May we merit the real at-one-ment, which will come in Meretz Hashem speedily in our days. Amen. Amen.